If I asked you, what are the two biggest things that are causing stress in your school life, do you know what you would say? Are there two things that immediately pop up? Because when I was talking to my good friend Jack Berkmeyer on a recent podcast episode, I asked that question to him as well. Of course, his initial answer was something just completely off the wall and irrational. But when we really started looking at it, his two answers matched what mine are, and I'm wondering if you would agree. And something that we are going to talk about in this episode are practical solutions to the biggest stressors in schools. I know that I have experienced that over the course of my career, but I don't want it to just be a thing that frustrates us, annoys us, or causes some of us to leave the profession. I want us to dive in and tackle some things that are easy to implement, that engage students, and I promise that they're effective because I've actually done all of them in my classrooms with my students as well. And one of the biggest things that comes up at the end of the episode is a profound statement that says, does a bell dictate achievement? Which sounds kind of loaded and maybe sounds a little bit heavy, but we get into this really interesting discussion and debate about, does a bell dictate achievement? That comes up in the last few minutes of the episode, and I'll be very curious to hear what you think of our hot takes. Regardless of how long you've been teaching, what age group you teach, or your subject area, I'm 1,000,000% confident, and that's a big percent. I'm 1,000,000% confident that this episode is going to deliver some things that you can implement really, really easily and almost immediately. So if you're ready to laugh and learn with me and my good friend, special guest Jack Berkmeyer, get ready. There is awesome in every single school day. So here is the big question. How can teachers like us, who love our job, love our students, and love being a part of education, celebrate awesome even more in our classrooms and learning communities? Where can we find teaching tips and tricks? Where can we find engaging stories and motivational strategies? That is the question, and this weekly podcast is your answer. So welcome to all my teacher friends. My name is Monica Genta, and I am so excited that you are here listening to this podcast, This Teacher Life. I have a game show to begin our episode, and the game show is kind of like Wheel of Fortune, and you have to solve the puzzle. Are you ready?
Sure.
The theme of the puzzle is the two things that are killing education that are the responsibility of students. And I'll give you a hint. They actually both start with the letter A.
I'm trying to be quick-witted.
And I know.
It's not happening.
Because it's kind of a serious topic.
It is a serious topic. And I was trying to think of two A words, but I wanted it to be appropriate. So okay. I'm really just on a struggle bus here. Well, I already know the answer. Do you want me to give the answer, the real answer, or do you want me to guess?
Well, I guess I thought it'd be fun to guess, but...
Aerial acrobatics.
That... The two largest problems in education right now are our students are doing too many aerial acrobatics.
Well, so, it was two A's, so it was the best I could do.
Okay.
Sorry. We're off to a rough start on the podcast.
Well, it's funny because I was trying to de-escalate this rather big topic because this is a topic that literally all teachers, principals, curriculum directors, especially instructional coaches who focus on data, this is something that is driving us crazy because it often feels like it's out of our control. And so the answer is not aerial acrobatics. It's actually...
I still think that's a good answer. It's apathy and absenteeism.
I totally agree. And I'm wondering, honestly, are you at a place in your education journey where you have complained about either of those things in the past 6 days, 6 weeks, 6 months, maybe even 6 years, is like, our kids just don't even care right now. And we would love to teach these kids, but they're just not even showing up for school. Yeah. And I think those are two things that we're going to have to figure out: better strategies, better solutions, better philosophies. So what's your hot take on this?
And without overcomplicating it.
Oh, see, for sure.
That's the other thing.
We probably don't need another flowchart.
No, a rubric for this. There's when we go through this, I have some simple kind of things. And you're right. I mean, what do I always say? The only advantage I have is I go to a lot of schools.
Right.
And so most of the people that are listening, obviously, to the podcast, you know your school, your classroom, your situation. Mm-hmm. I'm here to tell you that it's not just your school, your situation. Yeah. It is a global issue.
Right.
It really is. You know, and I think that, if nothing else, should make you feel a little bit better that it's not you. Mm-hmm. And I don't care what kind of school you're in either. You know, these could be suburban schools, rural schools, urban schools. Everyone is feeling the issue of kids don't want to work mm-hmm. and they don't want to come to school.
Right.
And, you know, we can start off and ask the question is, why aren't they coming to school? Mm-hmm. Like, maybe that's a good conversation piece to start with.
Yeah.
The only thing I've noticed and shocks me is being able to go to schools when I fly. I could be on a Wednesday flight mm-hmm. going from Denver to Tampa, Florida, mm-hmm. and 25% of the plane is children.
Yeah.
And so I think parents have said, you know what, I'll just pull them out of school.
Yeah.
And with parents working remote or yeah. having other options,
right.
they're like, you know what, let's go to Orlando for a week and go off season mm-hmm. when the lines aren't crazy. And you mm-hmm. know what? We're kind of enabling this with this absenteeism, because why? We put everything on Schoology
yeah.
or
yeah.
the other ones. There's so many different types. But then the parents are saying, well, you can just do your schoolwork
yeah.
online and not go to school.
Ooh.
But yet that attendance piece has an impact on school data and mm-hmm. funding and all those different kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And so I don't think parents are realizing that. And I think they're like, oh, let's go have fun. And by the way, I love that parents are taking their kids on these adventures, mm-hmm. but I don't think they see the impact of what that means.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's one variable. The other variable on why they're not coming to school is kids don't want to come to school.
Mm-hmm.
Go to high schools right now, and a lot of kids are getting jobs. So,
right.
what, you know, instead of me going and sitting for 7 hours, some kids will go right online, take mm-hmm. whatever the teacher has put on there, be done in 2 hours,
mm-hmm.
and not go to school that day.
Yeah.
And then some, it's just because I know you're not supposed to use the word, I think some of our kids have become L to A, Z to the Y.
Because
you can't say lazy, because that's not a nice thing to say. But they are becoming a little more lazy. So I don't want to go to school.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to get up this morning. And some parents aren't willing to say, no, get up, get mm-hmm. cleaned up, and go to school.
Yeah.
Don't want to fight the fight.
Right. I think something that I heard there that I think is wildly interesting is, are we enabling our kids to not have great attendance simply because of the structure of the ability to upload our assignments into a Google Classroom or into a Schoology? Because I remember if I was going to be absent for like one day, if my parents, God forbid, pulled us out for like a family vacation for like one day, my mom would bring clipboards in the car and we would be doing worksheets and activities on a clipboard in the car, and we weren't allowed to have snacks or watch movies until it was like,
finish your work.
No, like finish your work.
Yeah.
This is kind of interesting because we were literally just at dinner the other night and we were talking to a dad with his son, and they were like, oh no, you guys are teachers. You probably don't want to hear this, but I just pulled my son out of school for a week and we did a road trip, a dad and son road trip to Florida. And we're like, oh, are you on a break right now? And they're like, no, it was really easy to pull him out of school.
We're playing hooky.
He literally said that.
We're playing hooky.
He said, well, you don't want to hear this, but we're playing hooky.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, all right. So we know that this is an issue with this absenteeism.
Right.
And like I said, it truly is kind of an everywhere thing. So here's what I believe in, is that there are controllable bubbles and uncontrollable bubbles.
Mm-hmm.
And what do teachers want to do? We constantly want to deal with all the things that we cannot control. I cannot control why a kid is coming to school or not coming to school. I cannot control that. We do
mm-hmm.
not have the power to do that. We can vent, we can be frustrated,
yeah.
we can argue about it. But here's what I firmly believe is this, is that I want to deal with when that kid comes back. That's
yeah.
the controllable bubble,
yes.
right? Let's Let's do a scenario.
Okay.
A kid has been gone for five mm-hmm. or six, 7 days. The kid comes back, and I'm going to use a middle school model. The kid has mm-hmm. seven classes in mm-hmm. a day. I guarantee you, six out of seven teachers would say the following to that kid.
Mm-hmm.
So glad you're here today.
Oh.
Which could be caring or condescending, depending on my mood.
Right. Yeah.
For that day, right? Mm-hmm. And then what happens is the kid then goes to the next period, and then the teacher says, math teacher goes, oh my gosh, hold on, we're taking a quiz and you haven't been here, so I can't give you the quiz, mm-hmm. right? Then they go to science. Oh, we're doing a science experiment, but wait, you haven't done the lab work yet, yeah. so hold on, I'll get with you in right. a second. Then they go to language arts. Oh, we're reading a short story and doing something. Oh, but you haven't read the short story. So now we're saying to the kid, so glad you're here.
Yeah.
Then we're not ready for you to be here because you're throwing off the cadence of my classroom. Mm-hmm. And then, Monica, you're going to be shocked by this. Children can be mean to children.
Oh, what are you talking about?
I know, it's shocking.
You silly goose, that's not true.
And so then a kid sits next to a kid yeah. and goes, why don't you ever come to school?
Yeah.
Okay, that is the most nurturing environment for a child who, A, didn't want to come mm-hmm. to school, and then you throw them into this mix.
So what do we do?
Well, it's simple. But here's where people are going to, all right, they're going to get fired up when I talk about this, right? So every school and school district, as you know, I love to say, can burp up a binder on anything, mm. yes or no.
Oh,
how's so our true. Data? Here's a binder. Mm-hmm. How are we doing on, here's a binder. Okay, could we not pull for sixth grade the top 15 children with the most number of absences? Could we not burp up a binder on that at the end of a quarter?
I mean, we could. The question is, what are we going to do with it? Because is it going to collect dust with the curriculum binder
yes.
and the academic playbook binder? I guess that's the thing. Like,
right.
here's the thing: if staff isn't opening these binders, it's a bunch of bullshit.
Yes,
so
it is. And so for me, this is usable data.
Mm-hmm.
You can literally pull the attendance record of your kids with the 15 most missing days in mm-hmm. a quarter. And again, if you're in a middle school, high school, or elementary, what you can say is, look, six of those kids we have either on our team for a middle school
mm-hmm.
or in my classroom as an elementary or a high school teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then what's the plan when that kid comes back?
Mm.
See, I don't care about why they're not there. That's bigger than
yeah,
me.
Yeah, that's not in our bubble.
That's not in my bubble.
Mm-hmm.
But what I can do is say, you know what? When this kid comes back, no matter what day, what time, what class period, he will go to Mr. Berkmeyer and just stay in language arts for four periods. Acclimate that child back into the school. Still go to their electives, or as you know, essentials, as I like mm-hmm. to call them.
Right.
They can still go to those classes. But why are we putting them into a rotation of a schedule that will say to you, you haven't been here, I can't help you right now, and why don't you ever come to school?
Mm-hmm.
Versus maybe this kid and I have a good relationship. And that kid is going to sit there for four periods and just get caught up on language arts, and that's it. Because he is never, or she is never going to get caught up in all four classes by coming mm-hmm. back for one day.
Yeah.
And you know where people that are listening, someone's going to say, well, he's going to miss science again for another day.
Right.
He has missed 21 days in the quarter. Mm-hmm. Pretend he's gone for another day.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, no, it's a good point.
Like, if that's your argument,
yeah.
to me, that's not an argument.
Yeah.
Versus tell me where it's written that kid cannot work on just one subject. And you know me, I'm going to play the odds. I'm gonna play the data.
Mm-hmm.
If this kid has a 12% in language arts, a 10% in math, a 15% in social studies, but a 42% in science,
yeah.
where am I putting that kid when that kid comes back?
Hopefully the place where they're going to get the most success academically.
Exactly.
Which I think is a whole nother odd podcast episode, because if we are just cheating the system on percentages and passing, like, ugh, like, it's gross.
It is, but in that particular case, this kid may end up with 1 D and 3 Fs, which is better than 4 Fs.
Yeah.
Because putting them into the rotation when they come back for
yeah.
3 days or whatever, they're never going to pass classes.
Yeah. yeah.
Or wait, I got one more, right? Mm-hmm. If you don't want to do that, then again, if we're a team, language, arts, social studies, science, and math,
mm-hmm.
give me two assignments mm-hmm. from each of those subjects,
mm-hmm.
but the kid is still going to sit with me in a more nurturing and caring environment.
Yeah.
Where they can sit in that my classroom and just mm-hmm. get caught up in a couple classes. And maybe they do that for 2 days.
Yeah.
Maybe they'd come back for a third.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the third, then they'd go into the rotation of their classes.
Yeah.
I just feel like what we're doing is taking a kid, and let's be honest, for some of our kids that have chronic absenteeism, there's a lot of SEL, social and emotional issues.
Yeah.
And then you throw them into an anxiety-ridden schedule,
mm-hmm.
and then you wonder why they don't come back the next day.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's a lot. And you know, that's deep for me because I tend to be funny, but I'm like past the point of stop worrying about why they're not coming and figure out what we do when the day they come back.
Mm, I like that. In fact, I have an idea on that as well. We're going to get into that idea here in a second. But before, I want to take just a minute to let you know that while apathy and attendance are big problems, I actually have a realistic solution for the entire school year. From my perspective, apathy and attendance are directly linked to social and emotional learning. And I know that this is a frustrating topic because there's a lot of curriculum out there that says it's engaging and says it's meaningful for kids. And then you dive into it and you dish it out to students and it feels cheesy. It feels inauthentic. And the kids are like, are you kidding? I hate doing this every single day. What if I said that there was a morning meeting, advisory, or homeroom curriculum that is so engaging, and I can say that with confidence because I use it with my students on a daily basis. In fact, I wrote it for kids, for amazing teachers like you, because I was also fed up with the lack of engaging and meaningful resources. It's called 180 Days of Awesome SEL, and it's 180 fully planned lessons with questions, with discussions, with debates, with links, everything fully embedded. So all you have to do is facilitate and foster that relationship building process so we can tackle things like apathy and attendance in a really productive and proactive way. You can check out the full 180 Days of Awesome SEL curriculum at monicagenta.com. That's www.monicagenta.com/180SEL. And I'm also going to put a direct link to that curriculum in the show notes. I promise this will be the thing that could change everything moving forward for SEL with your staff and your students. Check it out at monicagenta.com/180SEL. Okay, so I've got a classroom-based idea on students who aren't attending, but they come back. Here's the strategy. All you need is a can of beans. Get you a can of beans. Green beans, black beans, pinto beans, refried beans. I don't care what kind of beans. I'm being dead serious. He's being a hater on this idea.
Well, but, I don't know what it is yet.
All right. You already, it's a tin can trophy. And I am 100% serious because you made mention, what do we say when a kid comes back? How was your vacation? Good to see you back. All of these kind of like maybe caring, maybe condescending things. I grab a can of beans and I slam it on their desk. And the very first thing that I say to them is, hey, welcome back. I've missed you while you've been gone.
Somehow I knew that was going to happen.
Okay, but here's the thing. Because now this is not just for the kid who I'm like, I'm literally want to greet you because you are back. This is also a visual reminder for me right now because I'm going to be teaching my lesson. And the kids are going to be like, I'm so confused. I don't understand. When did this happen? And I look at that kid and I can be frustrated like, of course you don't understand it. You just took an extra spring break with your family. Or I can look at that kid and I can see that can of beans and I'm like, I don't have control over the fact that his family went to Florida.
He's not been here.
Oh, see, you do like the idea. He's not been here. And so it's a visual reminder. It's a tin can trophy. And I'm dead serious. This absolutely works. Because here's another thing, is if a kid has been gone for 5 days, guess what they got from me during those 5 days?
Well, they're getting a can of beans, but...
Yeah, but while they were gone, they got a phone call. But here's the interesting thing about the remix, is I think it's very common to make truancy phone calls. It's actually part of my role in my SEL coaching that I do in my school, but the truancy phone calls are way more effective when they don't come from the teacher, when they come from peers. And so what I will do, especially at a middle school and a high school level, is if I know a kid has been gone for 3 days, on the fourth day, if they're still absent, I say to my classroom, hey, does anybody have Jonas's phone number? And they're like, yeah, I do. And I'm like, would you mind calling Jonas on your cell phone? Because it's Jonas's friends. And now it's gonna look like one of their friends is calling during class. What kid is not going to pick up the phone at 10:30 on a Monday when their buddy is calling during class. They're very surprised to then hear, "Oh, hey, Jonas, it's actually Miss Genta calling from Riley's phone. How are you doing today, buddy?" And I'm like, "Actually, you're on speakerphone right now. Hey, fourth hour family, tell Jonas hi." And the whole class is like, "Jonas, dude, where you been?" And now it's not me hounding the kid. It's the class being like, "Come on, man, come back to school. Are you feeling better?" Because sometimes they're sick.
That's true.
And so now we've got like this classroom community approach to absenteeism. And it's not just me hounding the kid. It's the kids being like, "We miss you. Are you better? Come back. Where the heck you been? Bro, we know you're playing Xbox." Very interesting. So those are kind of two ideas. One that I have total control of. Get you a can of beans. The other, I'm creating a classroom community where hopefully we are encouraging good attendance.
I have to tell you, I didn't know where the phone call would go. I like that a lot. And you know, I'm hypercritical about a lot of things.
Yeah, I actually saw a twinkle in your eye when I said it. And I'm going to be honest, I think it's like, damn.
That's good.
That's good. Why wasn't that my idea?
And you know, really, it's about a competition. Because when you do that, I'm like, damn, that's good. Why didn't I think of that?
Go ahead and send us messages. If you think my ideas are better, feel free. Just let us know, okay?
I will ask you this.
Yes.
Do they get to keep the can?
No. It's a traveling trophy, man.
Look.
No, because you know, in a middle school setting and a high school setting, if you give a kid a can of tin, a tin can of beans, if it leaves your classroom, it's going to end up on the floor. Somebody's going to chuck it at somebody else. No.
Okay.
It stays in my classroom.
Okay, I can live with that. All right, and then I got one more about the absenteeism, and then we can get to apathy.
Yeah, because this episode is getting too long.
It is. So here's the thing. The last thing you can do is about 2 weeks before the end of the school year, is that teachers can get together and say, look, these three assignments are the most important assignments that I need for this child to do. And what you do is you photocopy them old school. You know I'm old school. Oh, I talk about it all the time.
I believe in paper too.
Photocopy those, put them in an envelope and mail them home. Mm-hmm. Can you then as a teacher say that I consciously have done everything I possibly can for the success of this child who is not coming to school? Mm-hmm. By the way, experience with working with schools when they've done that, about 25% of kids will do that work and bring it back. One kid actually went to the post office and mailed it back to the school, had completed the work. And I'm like, this kid gets an A.
Yeah.
Why? Because he navigated the post office.
Yeah.
That is a life
skills.
Mm-hmm. We did that together. That was awesome.
Yeah.
But see, that's why I said we're overcomplicating this. Mm-hmm. We're more into why this kid's not coming to school versus what do we do when they are here?
Yeah. Well, you know, one of my favorite things to say in education is if you can't control it, then you are wasting your time complaining about it. And I think, especially when teachers are working with each other in team meetings or curriculum time or whatever, so much time is wasted because teachers are stressing and spiraling instead of solving problems. It's just easy to do. And it's nobody's fault. It's just easy to do.
It is easy. That's right. Yeah. And this does take a little work, but you know what? Yeah. I'd rather be proactive and have a plan. That's for all sure. I'm asking. Have a plan for when that kid comes back. You don't know when. You don't know where. Yeah. You don't know what day.
Yeah.
Uncontrollable bubble. Mm-hmm. All right. So I love the one about apathy because, again, old school Jack Birkmeyer. I kind of miss the old school days of sometimes when you would hand out a worksheet and a kid would not tell you they're not going to do it, right? What they would do is piddle fart around with it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like they would draw on it. Mm-hmm. They would color in the O's, put hearts above the I's.
Yes.
If you move towards them, they're like, oh, I'm working. And you're like, no, they're not. But they didn't tell you no.
Yeah.
Okay. I believe we have a different breed of children right now.
Yeah.
And I do know of example after example where you're getting ready to hand something out to a kid. And before you even hand it out, the kid will literally say, I'm not doing this. Mm-hmm. This is stupid. Mm-hmm. I refuse to do this.
Yeah.
And here's what happens then. I firmly believe we are working harder than our children. Mm-hmm. And that's got to stop.
And I know that this is something that I think we've talked about in a previous episode. And it's something that I do in my classroom. We totally agree on this. Is like, I think you called it a refusal reflection sheet.
That's
I use
it.
One of these in my classrooms. In fact, in the show notes, I'll link an example of what I use because I think I know where you're going with this.
Yeah.
We're working harder than kids. Make them do a refusal sheet.
Exactly. And do you know that refusal sheet that I've worked with some schools, they have shut down kids telling them no within 2 days.
Yeah.
But remember, if you're going to do this, you can't be the isolated teacher to do that right of refusal form. It has to be all of us, either on the team or grade level or whatever, doing it, because kids have to see we're the pack.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, they know they're the pack.
Right.
And so anything you can do, and by the way, the change of that is now, sometimes kids aren't telling teachers, I'm not doing this.
Mm-hmm.
They piddle fart around and don't do anything for the remainder of the class period.
Mm-hmm.
So what some have adjusted it to is it an exit ticket?
Mm.
Meaning, and on that exit ticket, it could have check boxes. I was on my phone. I played games. I talked to my peers. I didn't want to do the assignment. Literally, and then they would check these things off and exit. And then I'm all in on if you use it either as a write a refusal or as an exit ticket. You have to staple the actual copy to that form.
Agreed.
Because what I want to do is if a parent ever questions me about why is this kid not working or why is their child not doing well, wouldn't it be great to open up a file folder and there are 25 writes or refusals or exit tickets where the kid did not work? Why am I answering that? This is a child's choice of apathy. The other for me is that I don't think we're giving our kids a lot of choices. And so if kids don't have a lot of choices, the easiest answer is to say, I don't want to do this, because we're only giving them one choice.
Right.
And so I think that's a mindset to change as a teacher. Are we giving kids a few more choices where, okay, fine, you don't want to do this one, but you have to do this one.
Right.
But I don't know. I'm going to let you answer that. Is that a better opportunity, or will they still say no to both of them?
Well, so it's interesting because in my classroom, I do use like a work refusal form. That's what I call it, like a work refusal form. And this literally happened this week in my classroom. And the kid was not mean about it. He wasn't disrespectful about it. He was literally like putting his head down and saying, no. And I'm like, okay, well, so here's the thing. If this is a no, I am going to deliver a work refusal form to your desk and you can fill that out. And he's like, okay, well, it's fine. Just give me, he literally looked at me and said, just give me the F. I assume that's what you're going to do is just give me the F. And I'm like, oh no, that's actually not what I'm going to do, because you have a choice. Are you ready for your choices? Because I believe in choice. You can do this assignment now and not have to fill out the refusal form and the assignment. Or you can do this during your lunch hour, then you're gonna miss out on time with friends. Or you can do it during ninth hour and you're gonna miss out on our like STEAM and STEM activities. So you've got three choices. The easiest choice is just to do it right now, but it is completely your choice, because no matter what, I am eventually going to get this assignment from you. And it was like, and it's not a zero. That's not an option.
I did that. It was so funny. I had a kid, didn't work first period, didn't work second period, and I kept him. That wasn't, you know, I also believe in that. Like, we should be able to keep kids in a classroom till the work is done, but we can't, because then they're going to miss science.
Right.
They're going to make, okay, I don't like that argument. But what I like is the fact that I'm going to hold this kid accountable. Best story ever. Kid did not work first period, second period, third period. End of the day, he chucks a blank sheet of paper at me and he goes, that didn't work, did it? Now, Monica, here's where you're shocked. I am smarter than a sixth grader.
What?
I know, it's shocking, isn't it? And I found out what bus he rode. Next morning when the bus pulled up, I knocked on the bus door and I go, excuse me, Mr. Bus Driver. Jonathan, come with me. You didn't finish your work. 5 minutes later, the work was done. He, for the first time, someone held him accountable. See, kids know that basically a bell dictates achievement. Meaning if I don't work in a class, as soon as the bell rings, what do we let children do?
They go.
You know, and we love our banners in schools, right? And I'll challenge schools. I'll buy a banner for any school that isn't willing to basically say, well, you know what? Maybe he doesn't go to his next class. And I'll buy you a banner for the ones that are very stuck in their ways to say achievement is based on a bell.
That is a harsh reality that we definitely don't want to hear.
Because it's the truth.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you got to go to your schedule. Really? They're 10.
Well, I think, too, we achievement is based off of a bell, too, by a quarterly system. Like, if you don't have mastery of something by the end of first quarter or by the end of fourth quarter, sorry, this is your grade, move forward. And I definitely believe in progressive grading and an open grade book. I know that that's probably another can of worms, but
no.
I agree. It goes along with the achievement is based off of a bell. It shouldn't be, though.
But it is. It's like you said, yeah. Unfortunately, we give a 10 or 11 year old a schedule and say, yeah. You have to follow it every damn day. No, yep. You do not. Mm-hmm. If this kid is struggling in there, you know, I always joked about this, and I actually had kids where they didn't work first period. They didn't work second period. Third period, they're raising their hand and contributing. And the other kids in the room are like, he's a genius. And I'm like, yep. No, he's not. He's heard the lecture three yeah. times. Well, maybe if kids heard lectures three times, we'd do yep. less pull out, less intervention, and yep. less support systems.
Yeah.
But again, you're right. These are other podcasts. We could go down that road.
For sure.
For the two biggest ones, like I said, there really is an issue with the absenteeism. And I mm-hmm. think if we look at it as can't control mm-hmm. why they're not here, we mm-hmm. control the minute they come back and how they are acclimated into mm-hmm. school, I think kids might come back more often. Mm-hmm. The other is the apathy. A kid mm-hmm. does not have a right to tell us they're not going to work. Mm-hmm. So what do we do to hold them accountable? Whether it's a right of refusal, whether it's an exit ticket, whether it's holding them in that classroom until that work is done, mm-hmm. whether it's getting on the phone right away yep. to just say, hey, Mrs. Smith, I want you to know your son just told me they're not going to work mm-hmm. today. Are you okay with that? And if a parent says, sounds good, I'd go to a communication log, enter mom said it's fine that he doesn't work.
Yep.
Like, we're overcomplicating right. this, mm-hmm. but we need to hold our kids accountable.
Yeah.
I think during COVID, we gave children grace. Mm-hmm. Now, and I feel grace is gone. I don't know where she went, but she has left the building.
Grace is missing.
Grace is missing. And now it's grace with accountability. And mm-hmm. you know who doesn't want the accountability? Our children.
Yeah. So here's the final question. Is your school burping up another binder to tackle these really difficult issues? Or is your school saying, I guess we better go out and buy some cans of beans? Because I want to be honest, there is nothing wrong with another binder that contains flowcharts and systems. Schools need systems. But schools also need smiles in the form of, hey, I've missed you while you've been gone. I think these practical solutions that we delivered in this episode are going to make a huge difference in the climate and the culture of your school, but also in the social emotional awareness and efficacy of our entire school district. I hope that you have had a ton of fun listening to this episode. And as a reminder, all of the links that we shared in the episode, including the 180 days worth of full SEL lessons and the students' right to refusal forms, are linked in the show notes. Special shout out to Jack Berkmeyer for being a part of this episode. He is an amazing educator and an even more amazing friend. And he's got more episodes dropping throughout 2025. So if you aren't already subscribed to the This Teacher Life podcast, or you're not following this, new episodes drop every single Sunday night. So you are ready for your commutes on Monday. I want to thank you for listening to this episode, but most importantly, thank you for living this teacher life.